The Chinese shopping spree in America becomes almost a shopping frenzy. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. There's news today that people and companies in China invested $15 billion in the U.S. last year. That's a record high, and the National Committee on U.S.-China Relations and an economic research firm called Rhodium predict that this foreign direct investment could double this year. This money is sometimes politicized, with critics worrying about China buying America, but a shower of money from China can also create U.S. jobs. Ann Stephenson Yang, co-founder of J Capital Research, joins us from Hong Kong. Give us a better sense of why this investment is on the rise.
It's going up because the renminbi is too cheap. So, and Chinese buyers know that. They know that they have a rare opportunity to use a renminbi that's undervalued by 15 or 20%. So they're going to get as many hard assets as they can. You know, if you own monopoly money and somebody's going to give you real money for it, then you're going to do that as quickly as you can.
So when a Chinese company buys, for instance, from a couple of years ago, Smithfield, the big meat processing company, it's not necessarily about the pork industry?
Yeah, see, that's a really good example. These deals are very seldom about some strategic goal. They're about the structure of the deal. So because this was a Chinese pork company doing the acquisition, it enabled this company to raise $4 billion U.S. dollars in debt from the Bank of China. And that, in the Chinese system, essentially is free money to you. So they were planning to, in a sense, to hand it out to themselves and then IPO in Hong Kong and pay back the debt.
Now, from the U.S. perspective, foreign direct investment, FDI is the acronym, is a positive, it's often argued by economists.
Yes, of course. I mean, if you can sell an asset at an excessively high price, of course you should do that. You know, if you can get an extra $1 billion from a Chinese investor, then of course you should do that, whether it's real estate or GE appliances or a drug company or whatever it might be. You know, great. It's Christmas every day.
Ann Stephenson Yang at J Capital Research. We reached her in Hong Kong. Thank you very much.
Oh, nice to talk to you.
Business is Global Part 2 here. Puerto Rico and its $70 billion debt crisis. Marketplace's Andy Euler got outside the capital of San Juan to explore the town of Ponce in the south to see how this issue of high finance is being felt by people on Main Street.
Rolando Zamora met Mari Candal in the main plaza in downtown Ponce in the 1960s. They got married soon after, and they've been living here ever since. They tell me they've seen the place change a lot. Mari points out all the mainland chain stores right outside of downtown.
Walmart next to Home Depot, they're always full.
She says more people shop at Walmart because, well, you can get the stuff you need on the cheap, and it's easy.
Yes. Yes, of course it's progress, but then that's money. The government will just go and steal it.
That's only a half joke to most Puerto Ricans. They don't trust how the government spends their tax dollars and think it's to blame for the crisis. A lot of people left. You can tell by the abandoned buildings.
That one, it's closed. And then another closed and another closed.
Every one of those buildings used to be stores. Look, for sale, for rent.
Rolando used to own a tractor business in Ponce.
There used to be a lot of agriculture, a lot of highway construction. There used to be everything.
We go to the port where those crops would get loaded onto ships headed to the mainland. The Puerto Rican government invested almost $300 million in upgrading the port. But today, it's basically unused. Captain Jose Garcia has worked at the port for 25 years.
There was a lot of work when the port was working. There was work for everyone. And now, nothing.
The port was even dredged to handle ships traveling through an expanded Panama Canal. Whether that will happen is another question. I do see two ships docked at the port, though. I asked Captain Garcia what's going on. He says they were seized by U.S. Border Patrol. They were traveling from Colombia, filled with cocaine. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
Let's check the numbers. The 100-share index in London is down 4 points, not quite a 10%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are down between 2 and 3/10%. trick question now. When are your taxes due? You know, the signed 1040s with W-2s attached, postmarked by when? Checking the calendar for us this morning is Mitchell Hartman from the Marketplace Desk at Oregon Public Broadcasting.
What day is tax day this year?
April 15th.
April 15th?
It is a trick question. It's not. It's April 18th.
Sweet!
Coffee drinkers Ann Scott and Zach Roscoe were delighted to learn their taxes won't be due till Monday, April 18th. You can thank Section 7503 of the tax code, says Eric Smith at the IRS.
Anytime April 15th falls on a Saturday, Sunday, federal holiday, or holiday in the District of Columbia, the due date moves to the next business day.
April 15th is Emancipation Day in D.C. this year. It celebrates President Lincoln's signing in 1862 of the Compensated Emancipation Act. It freed 3,185 slaves in the district and paid the owners up to $300 for each slave in compensation. Folks in Massachusetts and Maine have till Tuesday to file. Monday is Patriots Day for the battles of Lexington and Concord, which were, after all about taxation without representation. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And California has just expanded the ability of workers to take time off to help with sick family members or a new baby. Many are eligible for family leave across the country, but here's the thing. In California, it is time off with pay, up to 6 weeks, just over half pay. With the California governor's signature, that is now four states and territories with this paid benefit. Our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, and Beatty Jong. Our engineer this week is Jeff Peters. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.